Good afternoon. This is Glenn Coble, and you are listening to a show that I call A Progressive Life. And I think, if I'm correct, I have Dr. Ronald Feynman. Doc, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am. Right. I listened in 11:30, and right away within seconds, my name came up again.
Well, you know, we use you as our... I'm putting this in air quotes, our expert on everything.
But let me just tell you, the correct word is presidentologist. You presidentologist. Put the T on the ologist. Okay. You don't separate them. Presidentologist.
Okay.
Like a psychologist, you know.
Now, Adam's going to call, and he's going to explain to me exactly how to explain, how to say that. We had an interesting discussion with Adam earlier about all these different pronunciations that none of us know what we're doing. Today was my day. I like to think of myself as the happy fool when I'm playing this game with Scott and Adam, and we had several listeners, I'm sure, that agreed that I was being a happy fool.
Oh, well. That's funny. I think you're very entertaining, actually. You and Scott together are great.
We enjoy it. We truly do, and I hope that comes across. I've gotten really angry at Scott, and I'm sure he says he hasn't, but I'm sure he's disagreed vociferously with me on things, and we really enjoy it. We enjoy talking with each other, and we love having, like this morning, a guy called in and told me I should basically shut up because I was talking over the top of him.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, no, that was cool. And he also said I was acting just like Adam. For talking over the top. Poor Adam. We treat him badly sometimes on our show. Anyway, all right, explain to us what you really felt about Kennedy versus Clinton running in that
2000 Senate race.
Yes, the
of course we don't know he was going to, but there were rumors he was going to announce. Yes, he was younger than Hillary, but Hillary had never been elected to anything either. And yes, she was first lady, yes, and she was an active first lady, and she alienated many people, 93-94, with Hillary care, and the Republicans and enough Democrats blocked it, and she became a real lightning rod, and she was supposed to run against Rudy Giuliani, who then backed out because he had health issues, even then, like he has health issues today, if you know what I'm getting at.
Yes,
now,
I
mental
know.
Health, back then he had physical health. But I am not so sure that he could have beaten Jacqueline Kennedy's son, who had just died a few years earlier, Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis. And remember, Robert Kennedy, the brother of the president, was not a New Yorker, but he got elected to the Senate in 1964, never elected to anything. He was Attorney General without experience. He shouldn't have been, but the fact is he was. I still have a feeling if he had run, which is not settled, that he would have beaten her in the primary, and he would have been the senator and likely would have been running for president in 08, and maybe Obama would have been competing, or maybe he wouldn't have even run. And I think we might have had President Kennedy Jr. In 2009, but there's no way to prove it. It's just my speculation.
Yeah. Well, and wouldn't you say, though, that Hillary had more name recognition? Now, I know the name Kennedy goes a long way out there on the East Coast, but wouldn't you say being the first lady actually gave her more name recognition?
But yes, but I'm not sure it's all positive.
Well,
a lot of negativism about her. You know that JFK Jr. didn't have a perfect life either, but he was also young. I just think that a lot of people really wanted another Kennedy president, and they didn't get it in Ted, and of course Bobby got killed. And I'm not saying he was necessarily the best person to be a president. I don't know, but I think the name carried on, and I think I just have a feeling it would have been a close race. But really, Hillary did not live in New York when she was running, only when she was actually running. And, of course, Robert Kennedy didn't either. But I just think John F. Kennedy Jr., my feeling is, would have beaten her. It wouldn't have been easy. It would have been divisive. But I do think he would have beaten her and then would have won the seat. But, you know, there's no way to know.
Now, I'm gonna go with Scott on this. I really think that Hillary would have won that. But that's neither here nor there.
But it would have been a close race.
Yes.
Certainly,
okay.
Yes.
All right. I'll give you that. All right. Now, like I said, and I noticed that you were concerned that I had no idea what we were going to talk about. but actually, I did. You were talking about Giuliani. What, was that his brains leaking out on the side of his head?
He's definitely demented. Talk about demented.
What is going on with that man?
Yeah, and how about this Joseph DeGeneva, who threatens someone and really should be disbarred? He's a nut. These people should not be allowed to practice law the way they're behaving.
Isn't that against the law to threaten somebody's life?
It should be, and I've seen him before, and he is a character, Joseph DeGeneva. He really is. And Giuliani, it's an embarrassment. Now he supposedly wants a pardon. He might get it, but the idea that a president is thinking of pardoning his own children, you cannot find another case like this in presidential history. Yes, it's true, Billy Carter was an embarrassment, a bit, and even Clinton's brother who got a pardon for a drug conviction, but nothing like this. But,
yeah, but Billy Beer was good.
What?
Billy Beer was good.
Yes, it was. And also he went to Libya and embarrassed us. You know, we didn't get permission to go to see Gaddafi. I mean, there were issues with us. And also LBJ's brother was also a drunk. And there have been other cases, but nothing like this. You know, and the thought that they would accept a pardon indicates they know they've done. Because actually, it's like Gerald Ford said, when you accept a pardon, you're admitting guilt.
Yes, and I think that's the legal side of it, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, so if the children of Trump accept a pardon, they're basically saying they're guilty of doing something, and they're not announcing what it's going to be, but they're guilty of doing something illegal.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Now...
couldn't happen to better people, however.
Last night, there was a big thing that came out on CNN about there's... some judge released information about somebody looking for a pardon, and it has to be somebody going to Trump because Trump's the only person that has power to give anybody a pardon. Now, they didn't mention that. They didn't say he was involved in it, but it
has. There's a long list of people, including those who have been convicted already, who want pardons. He's already given a couple. So, I mean, there's no president, even Nixon, that matches this, the amount of criminality. Nixon looks like a choir boy again. He looks much better. He always had more positives beyond everything else. Trump is a disaster on how anyone in their right mind, the second time, could vote for him. First time, maybe, he's a new, fresh face, new, they don't like Hillary. But to vote for him again, there's got to be something ethically and morally wrong with you, is the way I look at it.
Well, now, the article, or not the article, the thing from the judge basically said this person that was involved in looking for the pardon was in jail, I believe. Am I reading that wrong?
That was late at night, and I didn't hear the whole thing.
Okay.
I mean, Cohen was in jail, but he's not anymore, and he wouldn't get a pardon anyway because he wrote a book revealing the truth about Trump. So I don't know.
Well, and he's done his time, right? Or at least he's in the process of finishing.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a long list to keep track of everybody that's been involved. It's just unbelievable. And I mean, how people can vote for someone that lacking in ethics. But then look at all these preachers who supported him, and they're all crooks themselves. There was a meme on there about how much money they earned from gullible parishioners.
Well,
and it's just like what Trump is getting, $170 million from people who want to help him with the appeal of the election. And now one person gave $2.5 million, has to be a moron, wants his money back. But he's not going to get it back, I'm sure. But this is being a grifter, just like these religious pastors that are phonies, you know. So how many people can, you know, I guess maybe you and I should start appealing for money. We could use it, right?
Well, they talked about that on the TV last night.
Yes.
Apparently, Trump can use up to, I think, 70% of that because it goes into a PAC, and he can use 70% of that to put in his pocket so he can buy.
To pay off all those loans that he can't pay off, yes.
And now, I didn't know that was legal. I don't know when.
I'm thinking you and I should get together and start an appeal for money, and we can both benefit from it.
Well, when I ran for office, I mean, they were really, the Secretary of State called me after everything was done and went over my Treasury report with a fine-tooth comb, and it seemed odd to me that they wouldn't do that with somebody running for president, but apparently they do, but I don't know.
I think being president puts you above the law, it seems.
Apparently.
It shouldn't be that way, but it does seem that way. We have to rein in the office somewhat. It's out of control. Like Arthur Schlesinger Jr. was my dissertation advisor, wrote the Imperial Presidency, book in 1973 about the danger of the rise of the presidency, too much authority from FDR through Nixon. And now, since Reagan, not Carter and Ford, because they actually, the office got a little weaker, a little more within control under Ford and Carter, but starting with Reagan, even a conservative, it has nothing to do with philosophy. The position has grown to be so powerful, so dominating, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, whether you like the guy or not, and it really needs some kind of regulation. I don't know how to do it, but we have the second imperial presidency, which is more dangerous now.
Well, now it's become kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Well, not prophecy, a fact, self-fulfilling fact, that one president does some things by, what do they call
order.
It? I'm sorry?
Executive order.
Executive order. So that means another president, the new president, this one, the president-elect Biden, he's going to have to do even more because the Republicans aren't going to let him do anything. So he's going to have to do more than even Trump did. I'm not sure he can, but...
Yeah, but you know, what's ironic is I don't like the idea in kind
I don't either.
Executive orders. But with all the damage he's done, I am supportive of Joe using executive orders to reverse much of the damage, because otherwise they'll never be reversed.
Well, and I believe Obama had to use executive orders because Mitch McConnell was saying, we're not going to let you even become a second-term president, and
That's
they
right.
wouldn't let anything get through.
That's so, right. So it's ironic. Good. It's basically, if you like the guy, you want him to use the executive orders. If you don't, you don't want him, and that's not good. But right now, we have to reverse a lot of the horrible damage, because it's just unbelievable the damage that has been done.
Well, I think we're going to have to make laws. You know, the founding fathers thought people were honorable. Even though they did things that were not honorable, they expected people in the government to be honorable. People are not honorable anymore, so we've got to change them from norms to laws, don't you believe?
If we could get it done, but that's much easier when you have one party,
the
White House, and in control of both houses, like LBJ and FDR had massive margins, but that doesn't happen anymore. Too often it's a split Congress or very narrowly divided, you know, in each house. I want to point out that I've looked up the issue of executive orders and discovered the president that used it the most easily was, of course, Franklin D. Roosevelt. Total of 3,522. Of course, he had 12 years. But Truman used it 907 times, Eisenhower 484 times. Then it declined quite a bit. But actually, what's interesting is that Obama used it 276 times, which is far less than most presidents before him. And Bush, W. Bush, did 291, 15 more. And Trump apparently has done 194 as of November 14th. So he hasn't even caught up to Obama yet. So it's interesting. It's more, I think, what the executive orders are about, not so much how many.
Yeah. And he apparently, it seems to me that Mr. Trump does not believe he has to do executive orders. He just does it whether you like it or not.
That's why I think Joe will probably have maybe more executive orders. Depends, you know, over the 4 years. Because, again, 8 years is different, like Obama. But he may not have as many as we think, but he definitely is going to take some action on the day after the inauguration, if not the inauguration day. Because I think it has to be done in so many areas, including immigration, for instance. We have to protect these DACA kids, you know?
Yeah. Well, now, this brings up another question that Scott was asking me. He said he was listening to the show last week, and he detected that you and I didn't understand each other when we were talking about the term that I expect President-elect Biden to run. I expect him to run a full first term, but I'm not certain that he'll run a second.
No, well, I think he might, but probably will not, most likely. But I don't think he will. He will have to announce if he's not running, I would say, in the summer of 2023, so that the election race can start between Vice President Harris and all the Democrats who want to run. So I think he has to announce when he's not going to run, but he's not going to announce it now. No, I think it's unlikely that he will run for a second term, because he will be 82. So we actually agree on that. Where is the disagreement?
Well, no, Scott thought that Biden would resign before he finished the first full term.
I think the only way he would resign is to be actually deteriorated enough.
Oh, yeah.
And I do think, even though people say it wouldn't happen, Wilson wouldn't leave, for instance, and all that. I think Dr. Jill Biden, if she knew and saw that her husband was not able to handle the job, she would convince him to do it. She would be patriotic enough to do that, and would be sad, but I think she would put, and I think they would both put, the country ahead of their own ego, unlike Trump, because Trump should have resigned long ago, in my opinion, with his mental instability. But I do think Dr. Biden would intervene. And by the way, I saw some people complaining she uses doctor. Well, who says you can't? I mean, just MDs can use doctor? There's nothing. People are so petty, you know, because they don't like the Bidens, I guess, so they're picking on everything they can. But Dr. Jill will be a good first lady, but if she really believes her husband is not capable, she will convince him to resign. Hopefully that would not happen, but I do think it's certainly possible. But honestly, he's perfectly fine. He's done very well in all of his statements. He's not perfect, but my God, compare his behavior to Donald Trump, to Rudy Giuliani, even to Barr and so many others. They all need to be committed mentally first before he does.
That brings up 2 points. First of all, my first question to you is, how quickly can they invoke the 25th Amendment if, let's say, Trump says, I'm going to make a mockery out of this presidency. I'm going to drop a bomb before he leaves the office.
Oh, with Iran,
Can they, in fact, invoke the 25th Amendment like that, you know, really quick?
It would still depend on the vice president and a majority of the cabinet. I don't know. But honestly, from what I've gathered, the president cannot just say, nuke something like that, start a war, because there are people in the military command, and they will not move ahead just because he says it, if there's a feeling in the military that this is unwise. And there's a lot of people in the intelligence and military community who have been very quiet because they get into trouble and get fired otherwise, but they are on alert, and I don't think that's going to be possible that it would happen, and I think they would stop it from happening.
I hope so.
I certainly hope so. We were down now, believe it or not, to 7 weeks from today, 49 days until the inauguration. And I remind you, that's the one Wednesday we will have to tape the show ahead, because I'm going to be watching the inauguration. So we'll have to tape it hopefully the day before, try to arrange that.
I'm not even sure that we will do a show on that day, because we allow that to be broadcast. I don't know what we're going
to
do. So
let's to Scott about that.
We'll talk about
it. We're going to do a show. It's got to be taped. I am not missing the inauguration of my guy.
Well, now another thing is how likely do you think that these two senators running in Georgia, the two Democratic ones, how likely do you think they have what chance do you think they have of winning it?
I think a fairly good chance. I'm not going to say for sure.
Yeah.
I think fairly good, because the two Republicans are both crooked, both involved in scandals about the stock market at the time of the pandemic, and both having outrageously nasty statements they made about race and other issues like that. And they're not getting great support even from the president, because he's still claiming the Georgia results are phony, that Biden won. So I would not be surprised. In fact, there's been indications you shouldn't vote because George is crooked and the Secretary of State's crooked, who's a Republican, and the governor, who's Republican, is crooked. There's a real split there. So I think it's going to help the Democrats and give them a good shot at having both seats. And then it will be a split Senate, and Vice President Harris will organize the Senate, and Chuck Schumer will be the majority leader, and every committee will be run by a Democrat. And I don't know if it's going to happen, but honestly, Raphael Warnock is really outstanding, great minister, and John Ossoff already ran once, and he would be the youngest senator if he got into 33. And I think George is moving ahead. This is what Jimmy Carter wanted to do 50 years ago and couldn't bring about after his one term. It's time for Georgia to change, and I think there's a good chance with the mix of people that have moved into Georgia, including former students of mine from Florida who moved to Georgia, although it's only a few, but I'm saying I think there's a good chance that Georgia will, but I wouldn't put betting money on it.
Well, I think it's a flip of a coin right now, isn't it? I mean, it's really way up in the air.
Yeah, it's 5 weeks from today, or from yesterday. So it's. I hope a lot of people contribute. I'm going to do some contributing to both candidates, because really, you know, there's never going to be enough advertising and promotion, and it is crucial, because it will make a big difference for President Biden.
Well, I did notice that Trump has raised $150 million just in the time since they announced he lost.
Yeah, 170, I think it was. Yeah, but now it's going to be his own personal money. Most of it, 70%. It should not be that way.
Yeah.
He should have to give it back because this is a phony, investigation still going on.
Yeah.
There's still websites that are talking about we're still fighting. Epic Times is still claiming that.
Well,
The Blaze, places like this. These places are disgusting, and they don't care how much they lie.
Yeah.
It's now, really terrible.
I understand that he has filed right around 31 suits against different states and stuff like that, and he's only won one of them, and it was a minor one.
Yes.
That's pretty amazing.
And that means that he lost those states more than once.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, now, I asked this question on the air with Scott. When should I take my Biden flag down?
I would not take it down. I would leave it up.
Well,
it's your inauguration day.
Yeah,
seriously.
My intention...
Found you have a decent, compassionate, sincere, competent president coming.
Well, my
not take it down. So at least after like January 21st, maybe.
My intention was to leave it up until my neighbors took their Trump signs down, and they have not. I have seen a couple of them, but not. And, or if they stay up, I was going to take it down when the Electoral College approved of Biden. No, I'm not even sure I'm going to do that.
I would say wait till Inauguration Day,
yeah.
Like January 21, the day after. And by the way, I think I told you I bought a Biden-Harris T-shirt already.
Yes, you did, yes.
It has faces on it. I haven't worn it, but I'm going to wear it proud because we have a president and vice president coming in who both are decent, principled, and compassionate people. And boy, do we need that.
Well, now, you teach classes with young people.
Yes.
Do you get a lot of people, young people that come up to you and say you're completely wrong or tell...
Well, first of all, I don't discuss, quote, politics.
Okay.
In the sense of the election, other than to report what happened. I give a balanced view. I talked about Trump, and I talked about negative and positive. Obama, negative, positive. It may be obvious that I'm more positive on, say, Obama and more negative on Trump, but I cover both ends. I don't discuss the election itself. And also, nobody comes up to me because this is online this term.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Except in the office hour, a few people come in and they want to discuss it. We'll discuss it, I'll say. But I don't do it in a classroom environment. It's a history of the... It's a political science course, but it's a history of the office and of the powers of the office. So I'm getting to the point where I'm talking about rating presidents. Tomorrow's my last day, and we're going to talk about polls of experts and how they rate presidents. So that's where it's going to come in. And some people may not like it that Trump is rated at the bottom of these polls and Obama is rated in the top 12. But that's the way it is. It's a whole group. It's not just one person.
Well, some of your students know that you're a devout Democrat because
yes.
They listen to this show. I know they do.
They also, I mentioned about my blog, The Progressive Professor, but they don't promote it. But I know some of them look at it, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Most are probably on that side of the spectrum, but there are some that are not, of course. Yeah.
All right, now,
right to their view.
What is your belief? And I'll tell you my belief, first of all. I believe that this president is attempting a coup, an actual coup. And I was going to look up the definition of a coup, but...
I think he was trying, but it's too late. He can't do it now.
I think
the military would not back it. That's why there would be no nuclear war. They would stop it. They don't have to obey him. What's he going to do if they don't obey him? I think it's more to be worried about and an invasion. But even that, I'm not sure an invasion of Iran would... I don't know. I tend to think it's... I think he's more of a blowhard, if you know what I mean. He brags and talks a lot.
Yeah.
And he's actually very weak in many ways. And he has very low self-esteem. People who are narcissistic, who have to always show themselves and always talk about themselves, are insecure people who are, and that's why he just wants to be noticed, that he'll die, not literally but figuratively, when he no longer is the center of attention. So on Inauguration Day, it looks like he's going to try to announce he's going to run in 2024, just as the inauguration takes place, and I'm hoping that maybe not Fox News, but the main stations do not show a split screen and just report it after, but not have it mess up the inauguration and the parade and all that. It should not. There should be no coverage of Trump from 12 noon to about 6 p.m., in my opinion. But we'll see what happens, of course.
If I were a producer, that's exactly what I would do. And it's not because I am a Democrat, but I think that's the major news. Everybody knows that,
Trump
blows hard.
And even Fox News already had given up on him. They may also not cover it for 6
They may not.
I hope they don't. Okay. And that will infuriate him. Boy, he will blast. But he'll no longer be on the president's Twitter. He'll have his own Twitter, but it will not be the presidential Twitter.
Yeah.
Joe Biden takes over at 12 noon, and he's not going to be nuts like he is. He's going to use it in a responsible way.
Yeah, I believe you're right. Now, this is another question I wrote down to myself. Biden just announced yesterday, I think it was, his financial people being led by Yellen.
Yes.
You think of that crew? I cried during. Well, I think you told me online that you cried during the whole thing.
He gets emotions up in me. Just like my original hero, Hubert Humphrey, when he was alive. There's something about those two people. I don't know what it is. I just have a special emotion around Joe Biden and earlier Hubert Humphrey.
That's interesting.
It was almost like they're related, although they weren't. But no. Joe was already in the Senate and knew Humphrey for a number of years.
I'm that way with Obama. And
also with Obama, yes. I agree with Obama, yes. And even his wife. His wife, I just love her.
Yeah.
And I think... Well, she wasn't as active to the same extent as Hillary. When Scott said about Eleanor Roosevelt and Hillary, I put Michelle in the same group. She was promoting good eating habits and other things. Not quite as much as Hillary, because she has no political plans like Hillary had. But I think Michelle was in the top group of those.
But Michelle was... an unwilling participant. She really didn't want to get into that when she went in, right?
Same as Betty Ford, yeah.
Yeah.
I love Betty Ford, the best Republican first lady, easily.
Is that right?
I always loved her. And Joe, I've said this to Adam, out of all the Republican presidents of my lifetime, I'm not thrilled by any of them all that much, but Gerald Ford is my favorite. I always liked the man. I really did.
I liked Eisenhower, but I was very young then.
Eisenhower, it was when I was very young, and he was all right. I mean, he certainly rated very high. He's rated fifth or sixth in polls of experts.
Is that
he's
right?
Really, he's right up there with Truman, and I think that's great. But I don't know if I got the feeling of knowing him because I was too young.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah.
Ford, I really think, saved us. As in fact, I've already said that Ford saved us from Nixon when he came in as Biden in a different way, is saving us from Trump. I think they can be compared that way.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting relationship. Look at it that way. Now,
I'll write an article on that for History News Network,
okay.
I think.
Well, I'll have to look that up.
Always got new ideas in my head.
Well, now, the reason why I liked Eisenhower is because when I was a kid, my mom and dad were Republicans. And they were Republicans all my life. But
moderate Republicans, though.
Yeah, they were, back then, Republicans were moderate.
Yeah.
But anyway, they took me down in South Bend, Indiana, when we lived there. Eisenhower came on a campaign thing and went through the I went through the crowd and handed people "I like Ike" buttons. So I wish I had saved one. It would probably be worth some money.
Get them online. That's easy.
Yeah. Oh, is it okay?
It's very easy. Yeah.
Okay. Now, one of the things that I wrote down, my puppy dog told me to do this one.
Who's your puppy dog? That's so funny.
she says. One of the things we have to do is we have to learn how to use our economic tools. People claim it's all socialism, but they only claim it's socialism if they don't like it, if it's something they
people
like.
People do not know what socialism is. They do not understand what communism is, what Marxism is. They compare it to like Venezuela or Cuba or the old Soviet Union. Pure ignorance and stupidity. It is not the case. Liberal and progressive ideas are not socialist. And in fact, true socialists don't like liberals and progressives because they're just center left, not left. And it's so totally ridiculous. It really is.
Well,
it's know, these people that don't know what's saying and claim to be experts.
Well, I put down, we must not demonize any political ideology to the loss of finding answers to the needs of our people. If it requires, like, I believe that Roosevelt, he knew that it required that he be socialistic in some terms.
Like Social Security.
So that he could pull America up. Yeah.
We have socialist things in our country. It doesn't make us a revolutionary, anti-democratic socialist country. We're more in the direction of a Sweden, you know, or Norway, or Denmark, and that is even the old Great Britain before Margaret Thatcher changed it a lot, and not for the best.
But socialist...
So it's just pure ignorance. These people do not know what they're talking about.
A lot of people think when you say the word socialist, you're saying the word communist, and that they aren't related. Well, they might be related, but they're not the same thing.
No, Norman Thomas and Eugene Debs were not dangerous people, and Norman Thomas ran 6 times for president, and he was critical of the New Deal for not doing enough, but he did take ideas from the Socialist Party.
And he was from Marion.
What was that?
He was from Marion. So.
Yes, he was. That's right.
So our people here in Marion shouldn't hate socialism.
Both Warren G. Harding and Norman Thomas.
Now, is it true that people...
And Eugene Debs also, yeah.
If people had voted on the best presidents, you know, listing the presidents, before Harding died and before people found out about the Teapot Dome scandal...
And also about the sex scandals, too.
But I don't think they had learned about that yet, either.
Yeah.
He would have been considered a fairly decent president, wouldn't he?
Well, before you know the bad stuff, yes. Well,
yeah.
He was nice-looking, he spoke well, and he pardoned Eugene Debs from prison when Wilson had him put there for opposing World War I. He was a decent man, but he wasn't very competent. He's rated in the bottom 3 or 4 of the presidents. He really is considered a failure.
But
you know,
the worst
president of the 20th century, he really is considered.
Okay. Was he an intelligent man?
You know, he had an education, and he did run a newspaper, you know.
Yeah.
He was a journalist.
He ran our Star, yes.
Yes, and, you know, he was in the state governor's lieutenant governor. He had a career, but he was never seen as whatever you call an intellectual heavyweight, but not every president is that way. He wasn't a Wilson or a T.R. in intellect, I'd say. But that's exactly why he was chosen in 1920. The Republicans didn't want a crusader like Wilson or Teddy Roosevelt.
Now, what do you think? The Republicans are saying that all the Democrats are elitist, educated elitists.
Oh,
but in fact, most of the Republicans have gone to the same schools the Democrats went to. They're all from Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Columbia.
And the most extreme right-wing people that are thinking of running for president are following Trump's lead. If Trump doesn't run, are people like Tom Cotton of Arkansas, Josh Hawley of Missouri,
and
didn't go to places like that, Marco Rubio. These people are monstrous. They're so bad. And Ted Cruz, who went to Harvard, was educated by, of all people, Elizabeth Warren was one of his professors. These people are monstrous. They really are. My God, if they're the best, they may actually make Trump look better if they're one of those is a nominee.
My wife said Harvard ought to go back in and look at the people that they've allowed to come to their school, because she's pretty sure that the only reason why they were allowed to go to Harvard is because their mom and dad paid.
Who said this?
My wife.
You know, she might be right. I'm sure there's been scandals about paying to have your kids go to this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a very pretty lady that's in jail now for that. Well, I don't think she's in jail, but...
But George W. Bush, I'm sure, got in because of his father, you know?
Yeah, you gotta wonder.
He wasn't exactly the most brilliant person either, you know? I have to say, recent Republicans since Nixon have not really been overly smart. The ones Bush won more so, but I don't think Reagan. He was a good actor, but he wasn't all that bright. He really wasn't, and neither was Bush too, and neither was Trump. I think Bush 1 might be an exception. Ford also a nice guy, but not that great. You know, I think Nixon was unusually intelligent for a Republican president, but still, we got him into trouble.
Insecurities. Let's start at the end of the Civil War, so we'll leave Lincoln out. Who was the best Republican president since the end of the Civil War?
Theodore Roosevelt, easily.
Okay. All right.
And then Eisenhower.
Yeah, okay, good. I like that.
And in polls, if you look at the top 10, those three, they're not 1, 2, or 3. Lincoln's usually number 1.
Yeah.
T.R. is usually 4th, ahead of Truman and Eisenhower. I'm not sure I'd do that. but you know, he had a peaceful time. Teal number four, Eisenhower about fifth or sixth, and Reagan's usually 10th or 11th.
Okay.
The next one. But I think he's a bit overrated.
I do too. But
yeah, but I don't know who would be next. I think after him, the next best probably is Bush 1, but he only had one term.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why Reagan will always rate ahead of Bush 1. I think he's the next best. You know, well, the Democrats, they have a whole group that really stand out, you know, that are in the top 10. You know, so Kennedy and Johnson, and also, of course, FDR and Truman. And Wilson. Well, Wilson dropped out of the top 10. He's number 11. And guess who's right behind him? Obama. I think the next poll he'll pass, Obama will pass Wilson, might make the top 10.
I would hope so.
Yeah. But then he's in the top 12, and in the APSA, American Political Science Association poll, he's eighth.
Is that right?
Adam Wilson, another. He's actually in the top 10. Depends on the poll you look at.
Yeah.
Trump leaves, they'll reassess everybody. But Trump's always at the bottom. You know, because whether you're conservative or liberal, you just know this guy is a disaster, and he's going to be either 44 or 43 or 42, maybe ahead of Buchanan and Andrew Johnson, probably not even ahead of Harding, though. I'm just saying, he is at the bottom, and he knows it, and he cannot get over that educated, mixed-race African-American is loved so much by the American people.
So do you think that will hold true in 2 decades from now? Will they look back and he'll still be at the bottom, depending on...
Well, it depends who the next presidents are after Biden. I would hope that nobody would be worse. I mean, George W. Bush was not rated very well in the C-SPAN poll. He was rated 36th when he left. Now he's 33rd, so he's moved up, but his father's like in the 18 or 20. So Bush certainly has moved up. So you never know, but oh my God, we can't afford a president worse than Trump. We really cannot. And we should never, in theory, have a person who's not been in government before. He's the only one who's never been in government.
Yeah. Now, I really think that's why I believe we need to make new laws that codify some of the norms that we've been living on for over 200 years. You know, we need to say if the Congress subpoenas you, you have to go or you go to jail. Right now...
Yes, but how do you get that done with a Senate that's so evenly split? And now the House is more closely divided than it was, unfortunately.
I don't know.
It's impossible to get much done.
Maybe we need to elect more honorable people.
Oh, that's a prayer, but who can say? Of course, I've said to other people, maybe we should have the British parliamentary system where the government and the executive are united, where they can't be divided. Maybe there's an advantage, but we're not going to do that.
No, we are.
The UK system has its edges, has its advantages, and also, if things are so bad, you can have a sudden election. You don't have to wait exactly to 4 years.
Yeah, but they got
an election sooner.
They got Johnson, and he's almost... Trump Jr., isn't he?
he's backed away from Trump.
He has.
Yeah. But honestly, the last few prime ministers have not been very good. No, it's the UK also leaving with Brexit was a big blunder. They should not have done that.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll come back in at some point. You know, I still say the woman leader, Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, is such a star. She's going to be leaving soon, though, I hear you. But, I mean, these women really can do a good job, and I think Kamala Harris could be a great president someday, hopefully.
Think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a lot there's a lot of talent in the Democratic Party right now.
Yeah, this Neera Tanden that's being... bantering about office of management and budget, but she made some nasty comments about McConnell and Cruz. They're saying, oh, she can't be confirmed. Well, how about all the things that everybody else has said about Biden and everybody says about everybody? Why should she be denied? She's a brilliant woman. She's 50 years old, the head of the Center for American Progress, a liberal group, yes, but she is qualified. I hope she'll be confirmed.
We need to have a law that says if you're being hypocritical, you go to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect.
Then 99% of people would be in jail, and we would have to replace them.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't be bad. Maybe we might should run as a team.
I would have been the best state representative Ohio has ever had. Because
I'm sure you would.
I would not have lied for anybody.
Yeah.
And
since you only would have had one term, it would have been defeated.
Yeah, I even told my wife when I decided to run, I said, I don't expect this to last longer than 2 years.
Yeah. That's why a one-term presidency, as long as you don't announce it's one term, in theory, if you set your mind that I'm not going to run again, you can take more chances.
Yes.
You're not worried about being reelected.
Yes, you can.
But you just can't say it out loud until the third year, you know.
Well, and that's one, I felt freed when I finally did start running, because I said to myself, I don't expect to win, and I don't expect to, if I do win, I don't expect to be here longer than 2 years, so I'm going to tell them what I think. Mm-hmm. And they told me what, Ohio told me what it thought of me.
But you know, if you had been in the government, maybe you wouldn't have had this show.
Yeah, that's true. I wouldn't have.
Then I wouldn't be on your show, and I enjoy every time being with you.
Thank you. As a matter of fact, the reason why I have this show is because I announced that I was, it was announced that I hadn't won, so immediately Scott and I got together, and my show started about 2 weeks after my election was done.
Well, congratulate Scott for a great decision.
Oh, well, I'll definitely do that. Hey, Scott, if you're listening, I need a raise.
A raise from nothing, right?
Yeah, nothing is nothing. Yeah, right. Well, anyway, what are we going to talk about next week?
Well, there'll be more appointments, I'm sure, and more rantings and ravings by Trump, and maybe some pardons, or maybe he's going to leave it all to the end. There's always something to cover. You know, you can't predict. That's one thing about politics and current events. There's always things to pay attention to, including worldwide. Meanwhile, of course, the new vaccine seems to be ready, at least in the UK, and hopefully it will soon be available here.
Yeah, they're talking about next week for the new vaccine in UK.
Yeah,
that's
and I
amazing.
Think anyone who says that they're not going to do anything about it is suicidal to not take it. And yet I hear a lot of people who are people of color are suspicious based on past history of how people of color have been treated medically. But I just think it's a disaster not to take it, and it's going to make it more dangerous for everybody else. And we have a responsibility to all of us, not just me, myself, and I.
Yeah.
This is not a time for narcissism. Only think about what's good for me and what pleases me. You have to do what's good for society.
Well, my parents were smart enough that they put me into what was called the Polio Pioneer Program. I was one of the first children in South Bend, Indiana, in the United States, to get the polio vaccine.
I also, back in the 50s,
yeah.
I don't remember much, but I know I got it, yeah.
And I'm real proud of that. There were I think, 10 people that died from the vaccine that went bad.
A certain percentage. But when you see that we have 2,400, 2,500 people dying yesterday, and the number of cases, and for people to just go about their business without masks, not caring about anybody else, it's just disgraceful. It's un-American. It's unpatriotic.
It's very sad. Well, we've got 1 minute left to go, so let me know your last thought before we say adios.
My last thought. I guess I'll just say I hope everybody in WWGH stays healthy, and I just hope we move on into December now. I'm getting closer to my birthday.
Good.
And my birthday is on a Thursday in 2 weeks, so I'm joking around people and saying, I'm thinking of two things. I was at the doctor this morning, and I said, I'm thinking of two things. He said, what are those? I said, the song 76 Trombones, and 1776, the play and the movie.
Your brain was stuck on the 70s.
Well, because I'm going to be 76.
Yeah, I understand.
So I'm joking about 76 trombones and 1776, the musical, the play, and the movie, you know.
Oh, we got 20 seconds. Tell me when your birthday, what day is your birthday?
The 17th, when the Wright brothers.
All right.
The first flight in 1903. And some of my students ask me, were you there? And they laugh.
Oh.
No, it was 41 years before I was born.
All
but that's
right.
The big event that occurred on my birthday, aviation, the Wright brothers.
Well, you have a great day. We got to get out of here.
Hey, thank you so much, and looking forward to next week.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Hey, bye-bye.
All right, we're off the air now. Have a good day.
107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, the place for holiday fun. For legendary newsman, Hugh Downs. Oh, yeah.